Amen. Appreciate what Brother Thomas has brought before us this morning, and just a couple of comments. I used to, when driving to work, there's a man on the radio, Christian station, by the name of J. Vernon McGee. Some of you may have heard him before. And he used to say there's only two kinds of people, the saints and the ain'ts. That kind of narrows it down, doesn't it? Also, one of my favorite authors to read after that's not Primitive Baptist, Jerry Bridges, who I believe, last I heard, is still alive. He has a book called The Pursuit of Holiness. I recommend it. But when he went to publish the book, his publisher tried their best to get him to change the name. Because if it's a subject about holiness, nobody's going to buy the book. I think Brother Thomas touched on that, didn't he? But the saints would be interested in that. The saints. And you know, I'll get to my text in a second, but in a sense, don't you know that the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus thought himself to be a saint when he was going about persecuting the church? Well, he was, but he wasn't acting like it. All right. What's on my heart this morning? Does God care for us? Really? You're not just saying so because you know that's what I want to hear. Does God care? Well, when bad things happen, does that mean God doesn't care? No. God's still the same. He cannot change. He's always good. Because he cannot change, I like that expression, God is good all the time, because he is. He'll never change. We live in a fallen world, and bad things do happen to good people, to the saints. But God cares. And in some of the challenges that we've been facing from several sources here of late, sometimes we may get distracted. Sometimes we may think that things are worse than they are. Sometimes we may think that, our mind is just, I understand that there's a lot of people that are depressed these days. We're heading into a holiday season where a lot of people do get depressed. And so depression is a real thing, and it doesn't have to be around a holiday, and it doesn't have to be just associated with COVID-19. But one of the best things, one of the best medicines we can take is to remember how much God cares for his own. And you've already heard this morning, before you had your being, God cared for you. Because before the foundation of the world, he chose out his people in Christ. He provided a way that his people would be saved from their sins. He provided a way that we could be with him in glory forever, in holiness, absolute holiness. Yes, God cares. And he cares about us every day that we live. And so when we think about the things that Scripture teaches us, about how that God cares, I want to remind you, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, verse 7 particularly, where he says, casting all your care not cares, but care. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. When he says casting all your care, the whole of it, all types of it, all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I want to remind you that this morning. Maybe you don't need to be reminded of that. Maybe you've been thinking about that a lot, but some people do. Reminded of the fact that God careth for you. Now, the verse ahead before that didn't have a period. So it's connected. Like Brother Thomas pointed out, there's a colon. And what Peter has emphasized here when he's telling us about being submissive and living our lives in a humble way. What he says back in verse 5, here, 1 Peter 5, verse 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. That's not a put on, but to be clothed with humility. And here's why. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Sometimes when you're reading the Bible, just kind of tuck that away in the back of your mind and look for how God cares for us. We could go a lot of places thinking about that thought, how God cares. As a matter of fact, from the beginning of creation, God has been showing us how much he cares for his people. You look at the garden of, when God made Adam and Eve. And you remember why he made Eve? The very first thing in the Bible that tells us was not good. It says it was not good that the man should be alone. And he created an help meet for her, for him. And help meet for him. Here we find that God saw that man himself, you know, what is love without someone to share it with? And so when you think about how that God created man, and then that's reflected in the fact that the very first thing that God says was not good is it's not good for man to be alone. And so he made an help meet for him. One that would be a completer, not another copy of the same. Hear that? All right? But one that would complete him, all right? And so when we understand how that God made the woman, because he cared, because it would be a better completer for him in this life, all right? We find that God planted a garden. And I have to believe that Garden of Eden was the most beautiful garden there's ever been. Perhaps we'll see such beauty in heaven. But God planted a garden, and he put the man in the garden to dress and keep it. See how he cared for man and what he provided? You know, when the children of Israel were down in Egypt. Well, let's see. Yeah, when the famine came, God, because he cared, he'd already been dealing with Joseph. He'd already began showing dreams. And I won't get into a lot of that, but, you know, and then Pharaoh started having dreams. But in all of that process, you can see how that because God cared for his own, he provided for them. He didn't wait for them to have the need before he thought of something. bless your hearts, he had already thought, he had already provided for his people before there was a need. Same is true even with sin. Before we had our being, before we had an opportunity to sin, God had already provided a way for us to be saved. He didn't cause anything of that to happen, but he knew it would. But he had already provided a way for his people to be saved from their sins. And that's the ultimate of his care, after all. But we'll get to more of that in just a minute, Lord willing. And so, you just go through the scriptures, and you see how God has dealt and how God has provided with for his people. And you see his loving care being manifested in so many ways. And we can't even scratch the surface this morning, because God has continued to show those things. Even after, still in the Garden of Eden, even after man sinned, God made coats of skin for a covering. Okay? Well, that had some benefit to them. But bless your hearts, when you understand what that symbolizes, it symbolizes that they were naked and they needed a covering. And what the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ someday would do was the covering that we needed to take away our shame. Oh, as we think about all the ways that God has provided and shown us in his word how he cares for his people. You know, go through right about that same time that he made those coats of skin, he drove man out of the garden. Remember that? Do you know that was an act of mercy? Not just judgment, but it was an act of mercy. Because he said, lest he reach forth his hand and take of the tree of life and eat and live forever. How would you like to live forever in this condition, in this world? I'm sure Sister Leland would tell you the same thing. No, not forever here. And so as we think about, that was an act of mercy that God drove them out, all right? So that they couldn't take of the tree of life and live forever. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Remember that? God was ready to wipe out the world. Because the imagination of the thoughts of men were only evil continually. And so we find. But it says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God made a way, all right, for them to be saved. And then later on, when Abraham would come on the scene, God would make a promise to Abraham that in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And that was a prophecy, not just of a natural seed, but that was the prophecy. And Paul would make In the book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul would say, would point out that God made the difference there between seeds and seed. And thy seed, which is one. You know, not seeds as of many, but as of one. And we know that was pointing ahead to the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten of the Father, the one that was with the Father before the world was, but the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He came to save us from our sins. Oh, as we think about the many ways that God shows us in his word that he cares for us. You know, another passage that is loved by so many of us is Psalm 23. Doesn't Psalm 23 speak about God's care for us? Well, it speaks about he's our shepherd. What does a shepherd do? What does a good shepherd do? What do the best shepherds do? Don't you know he's the best shepherd there is? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And you can apply that eternally. You can apply it right now. But you can apply that eternally. because of what the Lord Jesus Christ, our shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep, the good shepherd, the chief shepherd. He's spoken in those terms all through the New Testament, but he calls himself the good shepherd. And I'm telling you, there's not a better shepherd. You couldn't find, if you want a better shepherd, whatever you want is not going to be better than who he is. The Lord is my shepherd. And I'm not going to go through the psalm, you know the psalm, but bless your hearts, just think about how that speaks of how that God, knowing our needs, being able to supply our needs, and has promised that he is our shepherd and he will supply our needs. Aren't you thankful this morning that the Lord is your shepherd?
Amen.
Think about him often. Think about what he's done for us. Think about what would please him. And think about making those choices so that we would act like saints and that we would show that he is our shepherd because he cares. You think about him as being the shepherd, knowing that the shepherd loves his sheep and watches over and provides for them. Bless your hearts, we can't have a better shepherd than that. In the book of Matthew, chapter 23. The Lord had dealt with his people in so many ways. Then we come to the New Testament, and we find the Lord Jesus preaching the gospel and oftentimes rebuking the Jews. You know, he came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which were born. Okay? Let me the last part of that left me. Even them which were born, not of the flesh, nor of the spirit. Not of man, nor of the flesh, but of the spirit. Okay? His people. It's not a matter of just choosing to believe, but those that were born of his spirit are the ones who believe on his name. But what I'm after is, though there were many times that Jesus rebuked his people, what did you notice in Matthew 23 and verse 37? This speaks of the care that God has had for his children, even in their times of disobedience. You know, just like in the wilderness where they were wandering for those 40 years, there were many times where they were disobedient and they rebelled and they complained, and yet the manna fell. Because God still loved them. He was still providing for them. Even though there were times he was not pleased with their actions, they were still his children. So listen to this in Matthew 23, verse 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Yeah. To me, that is so expressive of how God cares so much for his children. Even in times when they haven't acted the way they should have, his care, his love, his provisions, his mercy still there. Now, we're thankful this morning that we know that's for Jesus' sake, because of what Jesus has done for us. But bless your hearts, in the practical realm, in the practical sense, we find him expressing, oh, Jerusalem to Jerusalem. And he goes through the things that they had done. How often, he says, would I have gathered thee together? Bless your hearts, we think about today. And we look about and we see suffering. We look about and we see challenges. And we look about and we see so many that are discouraged and disappointed and whatever the case might be. Bless your hearts. Help us always to remember that God is still watching over us. He's still on his throne. He's still able to supply our every need because he cares. Because he loves us. Because we're his child. Nothing can separate us from his love. Oh, I tell you, there's so much we can be thankful for this morning. Many places where we could go throughout the ministry of the Lord Jesus where he expressed to us his care and his love for us. But as we said earlier, the ultimate of his care is manifested in the Lord Jesus Christ. How that we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. How that God sent his Son to this world to save us from our sins. You know, if you know me, you know one of my favorite passages is John chapter 6. When Jesus said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all that thou hast given me, chosen in him before the foundation of the world, of all that thou hast given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. I tell you, I rejoice in that verse of scripture. Because no matter what, if we're his child, if we are one of his saints, if we are one of the sanctified, if we're one of the ones that's set apart, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, nothing could ever separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And all of any value that we have is because of Jesus. There's nothing good in and of ourselves. But if there's something good in us, it's because God put it there. And so as we think about the fact that God sent his Son to save us from our sins, and that offering that Jesus made was to the Father, not to us. He doesn't offer himself to the sinner. Bless your hearts, he came to do the Father's will, and he offered himself to the Father for the sins of all that were given him before the foundation of the world. Bless your hearts, when he went to that cross, he died for you and me. For all that were given to him before the foundation of the world. And if he sent his Spirit in our heart, enabling us to cry, Abba, Father, he died for us. He cares for us. He cared enough that he purposed for the foundation of the world to send his Son to save us from our sins. But he cares for us every day. Let's never forget that. No matter what the circumstances might arise in this life, don't ever forget that God cares for us every day. James didn't use the word care, but he says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Bless your hearts as we think about how much he cares. He will provide for us. But you know, one of the most beautiful pictures in all the scripture of God's care is the fact that the church is the bride of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 5, it speaks so clearly about what Christ has done in saving the church. Ephesians chapter 5, I think I could quote it, but I want to turn to it. When Paul is instructing husbands and wives in Ephesians chapter 5, listen to what he says here, verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Then verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. There's beautiful pictures in the Word of God of his love and his care for his own John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It didn't say now will believe, it says believeth. If we have the Spirit of God within us, if he's enabled us to hear and believe his word, then bless your hearts, will not perish. And so God so loved the world, that orderly arrangement of those that he had chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. God so loved that world, he gave his Son. But then the Son gave himself for us. When he says, husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. He comes down, speaks about the institution of marriage, but then in verse 32, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. What a beautiful picture when you consider the subject of marriage that God provided through his Son, a husband, a Savior for the church. How he loved us enough that he gave himself for our sins. Does God care? Just keep reading in the Bible. Over and over and over in the Word of God, you'll find a manifestation of how much God cares for us. That's why we're to set our affection on things above and not on things of the earth. The more we ponder, the more we consider the things that are going on around about us, the more we think about the things that we wish were different, or the more that we think about just the things of this world that leave God out of it, the more distressed we're going to be. But the more we remember the goodness and mercy of God, the more we remember how much God has provided for us, the more we remember how secure we are in him. You know, that's two things that is so needful from wives is to know they're significant and to know they're provided for. That's so needful. Well, bless your hearts, in Christ. In Christ, we're significant to God. Bless your hearts, we're special. Because he sent his Son to save us. We're his. In that way, he has manifested his love and his mercy and his care for us each day. And what blessings of provisions he has made for us, the security that we have in him. There's so much more we could say about that. But in view of what we have said, if God has done all of that, don't you know he still cares? Don't you know he'll care tomorrow and the next day and the next? God loves us. And he cares for us, cares so much that he's told us in his word and promised that we can never be separated from his love, which is in Christ Jesus. So you know, when you get over to that passage where the apostles were and the Lord was in a ship and a great storm arose and the water, the ship was taken in water and they thought they were about to perish and the Lord was asleep on a pillow in the lower part of the ship. He wasn't concerned about that water, was he? He wasn't concerned about being shipwrecked. He made it all. He had power over those things. But they woke him up and said, Master, carest thou not? And you see, that's what circumstances do to us. It gets our mind off of the Lord and His provisions for us. And it makes us fearful. It makes us concerned about what's going on in the present. But bless your hearts if we'll just remember what God has done for us eternally. If we keep our mind, heart, and heart focused on what God has done for us, which is eternal, which cannot be separated from us, the goodness and mercy that He gives us each day, when we keep our mind and heart upon those things, nobody has to convince us that God cares. We already know it. We feel it in our hearts, and we're rejoicing in it. May God help us as the saints of God to live like it and to remember truly He cares for us. May God bless you is our prayer.